So what's your dream job?
Probably just to customize stuff and tinker in the garage.
Who says the word tinker?
Lots of people.
You are the only person I know who uses that word.
I bet there's more. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Whatever is True podcast. I am your host, Jake, with my lovely wife, Bethany.
Hey, guys.
We wanted to start today's episode with thanking everyone for leaving a rating and review. It means a lot to us. It pushes our show up in the algorithms and helps other people discover it. And if you haven't done that yet, please, I'm almost begging you, please go leave a rating and review. Not only does it help push the podcast up, but I really like getting them.
It boosts Jake's ego, clearly.
Only a little bit.
Seriously, thank you guys, though.
Today is our fourth episode. We are very excited. We have enjoyed doing this so far. And today we are talking about the value of prioritizing your marriage. One of the ways that you need to prioritize your marriage is to have a good daily devotional life. And we have found that the devotionals through Daily Grace Co. we really enjoy. They have couples studies. We did the one through James together, but they also have family devotions. We have the characteristics of God that we are going through with our kids right now. Bethany, you've done a couple other ones solo.
I've done several other ones solo, but the cool thing about doing it with your spouse is that you can each buy a copy and they actually have the same content in both of the books, but they cater the pictures and just like the format to men and women. And then you can, what we did is we got together after a couple days or as many days as we could, and we would go through the questions at the end of each like section together just to bounce off ideas and the thoughts that we were having while going through it.
Yeah. So that has been a great resource for us. And we will leave a link in our show notes and you can go over and check them out. They have some great $5 and $10 sales often.
So today we are talking about marriage and a really common message that I receive on my personal Instagram page is, how do you prioritize your marriage? Like, especially with young children in the picture, I have moms who come to me and they're just like, our marriage isn't the same since having kids. It's getting worse. I don't know how to give my husband time and to give my kids time. And just, it seems like one or the other is always failing.
And not that we should only be prioritizing our marriage when we have young kids. It should be a daily ritual and a lifetime practice.
And so we're going to talk about what that looks like in, it's going to be in different stages. Obviously, right now, Jake and I are in that stage of having young children while working to prioritize our marriage. But our hope and aim for this episode is that people in all different stages of marriage or however many years you've been married would still be able to glean from this and just understand how important prioritizing your significant other is in God's eyes. So why should we prioritize our marriage? Like, is it that important? Isn't it just a season of having young children? What about my hobbies and my career and things about me?
All right. But before we get into that, we want to go top to bottom on our priorities in life. And number one, as a Christian, needs to be God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So very clearly, that is saying God is priority number one. Number two would be your spouse. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, no matter what, this is always the most challenging verse for any Christian husband, because that's a lot to give up for your spouse. And then later on in the same chapter, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So with the husband and wife becoming one flesh, that clearly shows that that is the second most important relationship. Third is children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I would say that that is pretty clear instruction on raising your children. And your children are who you're responsible for raising with your spouse. And then comes family. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we are to take care of our families, and it even says right there, especially members of his household. So kids, everyone right involved, but it's saying before that is all of his relatives. And then fifth comes your local church family. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So we are called to serve one another in our church bodies and help them.
So I think that overall we all agree with the priority, but there are some people who would argue this and they would say, well, okay, obviously God is going to be first, but why can't my children and my husband be equal? I love them both dearly. I live with them. Is there some other like ground here that we can talk about and make them equal? Like what, like where do we decide that scripture says God, spouse, and then children?
Well, I mean, it doesn't say, you know, a husband shall leave his father and mother and cling to his children. Doesn't say for parents to love their children as Christ loved the church. Although we should, we absolutely should, but it is clearly prioritizing your spouse. You become one flesh with them. Children are part of you and your spouse, but you become one flesh. That is the priority.
Right. And I don't think that it's saying you're making one of them less valuable. It's just that there are different roles for your spouse and for your children in your life. And 100%. The Bible points to that. Another point that I would bring up to that argument would just be that your kids are with you for a certain amount of time. At some point, your children are going to leave the house and it is going to be your spouse that is still there. And you want to have a prioritized relationship, not something that as soon as you say goodbye to your last child, going off to college, getting married, whatever, and you look over and your spouse is sitting there and you're like, oh man, well, now what do we do? Like, how do we fix this? What is our marriage? Oh yeah, there's this other person that still lives here. So I think that is another aspect that we can talk about.
Absolutely. So let's talk about how we do prioritize our marriage. First, we need to be a team. We need to be on the same page. Both you and your spouse need to recognize the importance of prioritizing your marriage. Because if you're not on the same page, then you are a house divided and you cannot stand.
Next, we need to understand the benefits of prioritizing our marriages. So right now in 2021, a really alarming stat is, depending where you're looking, 42% to 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. And some of the main contributing factors to this is a lack of intimacy, financial issues, and communication. So I know that we talk a lot about communication, and the reason being is that we really find this to be one of the most important things in a marriage. And it's not just talking, but actually communicating and understanding and hearing and listening to each other.
Right. You can look at those other two factors. Lack of intimacy. If you communicate that with your spouse, you'll be on the same page. You'll understand. Same thing with money. If you're arguing or not on the same page on how you're saving or spending your money, it's going to create issues.
Now, we know biblically that the Bible says do not get a divorce. We also want to talk, though, about the benefits of raising children in a home where the parents stay together.
Absolutely. Stats show that kids from families that stay together in marriage do better in life. It creates a stable home environment for them. They do better in school, and they're less likely to encounter abuse.
So if you're listening to the show today and perhaps you don't have kids or you are not even married, you're single and you're looking ahead to getting married, that's what's on your radar right now. Here's a couple of things that as we were preparing for this episode, we thought would be important to share just to help encourage you on your journey towards marriage and finding a spouse that is going to understand how important it is to prioritize your marriage. So when Jake and I were engaged, we ended up going through premarital counseling with an older, wiser couple. And it was very beneficial. It was really helpful. And it was kind of fun to go through and just talk about our expectations of marriage, what we understood, questions that we had, and just to get wise counsel about what we were encountering, and also to see if there was any red flags in our relationship that nobody else had brought to, you know, the forefront of our minds to deal with. And along with the premarital counseling, we also did financial counseling. We went through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. I think it was that like an 8-week session or something?
Yeah. And that was actually even before we were engaged.
I think we got engaged during it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We knew we were going to get married. I was just waiting on Jake to pop the question. So we started this series that dealt with our money and how are we going to spend our money? What were our tendencies? I was typically the saver in our relationship. Jake was the spender. And I feel like at times it has been changing.
Absolutely.
Lately.
It has. Because I think it's because when we budget, I have to give a reason for what I want to spend money on or what I do spend money on. And that makes me go, okay, do I really need this? I have to explain to Bethany why I spent $20 on coffee this week. No, I don't need this.
All right. And you're just so nice to me. I'm like, hey, I was looking at this. I'd like to buy it. And you're like, oh, just go buy it. It's fine. So yeah, don't come to us for any financial advice. I'm just kidding. We're
great with our money.
We're pretty good with our money.
We could do better.
I think everyone could do better. Okay. Also, I would add to this, make sure you choose a spouse that holds the same beliefs you do, the same values that you uphold, things that are like non-negotiables in your life. Make sure up front that the person you're talking to holds that same value on it.
And talk about these things sooner rather than later. Establish good communication while you're dating. Work on your communication skills while you're single. I mean, just when you're talking to people or making plans, communicate well, and that will help you in your dating, your engaged life, and in your married life.
Yeah, I think communication skills, I mean, it's literally a major in college, but it is something you can always be working on, and you don't need to be in a relationship to be working on that skill set. Now I want to specifically speak to all of the other parents who are listening and are in the trenches with Jake and I right now with young children. So we have 4 kids who are 6 and under. And I think one of the most important things that I have been realizing over the last couple of years and since we became parents is that this season is long, especially if you keep having children, you're going to be in it a much longer time. And we need to learn to adapt in this season of young children, but not just adapt, we need to thrive. I love to talk about surviving in motherhood versus thriving in motherhood. And I think when we enter parenthood, we're oftentimes just in that survival mode because it's new. But there are ways to thrive. There are people who are further along in this journey who can share with us so much wisdom in parenthood and teach us how to thrive. And I just think it's so important to have that mentality of thriving, because when we begin to shift out of that survival mode and into that thriving mode, we begin to really live life and to enjoy our marriage and to enjoy our children. So a lot of young parents will say, like, I just have little kids right now, and it's just a season right now. It's fine. Like, my husband's going to be there later on. We just need to get through this. But I don't think we realize quite how long this season can be. So if you're a parent, your children are going to be home with you for a while. It's better to shift the mentality now. If the Bible says marriage is so important, it surely didn't mean, but when kids enter the picture, let it go for a little while. It's okay. It just might look different, and we have to be more intentional. And I think when we recognize that, when we recognize the fact that our kids are going to be with us for a while, and what we had prior to kids is going to look different, we begin to adapt and we begin to find ways that work around that. So a little bit about our story. I mentioned that we have four kids and we had them relatively close together, especially the last two. Our youngest two are only 17 months apart. And if you listen to our first episode, you know that Jake grew up in New Hampshire. I grew up in New Jersey. We got married and we live here in Pittsburgh. So a quick look at the map will tell you that we live about 6 hours from my family, and we live about 11 or 12 hours from Jake. Thankfully, my brother moved next door to us, like 2 minutes down the road, about 2 years ago. And so he has been here to help us a little bit. But overall, it has just been Jake and I. And so very early on in our journey into parenthood, we had to figure out how we were going to thrive and how we were going to make this work. We have a wonderful church. We have wonderful friends who have helped us over the years. But on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis, for the most part, it is just Jake and I. So we want to share some of the things that we have done in our marriage to help us learn to thrive while being parents of young children and not having many family members around us. We love dates. We love going out on dates. It is one of our favorite things to do, but dates can get really expensive. And
it's not always in the budget to have a date night every week. Although we have done some, like, you watch our kids while we go out, and we'll watch your kids when you go out next week.
Right, like a date swap.
Exactly. And it really helps. But we need to remember that our marriage is not dependent on a date night, like getting dressed up and going out and doing all of that. We advocate for date nights, but it's not the savior of your marriage. Our date nights are every Friday. We have a family movie, and then we get the kids to bed ASAP. And then it's us. It's intentional time where we get sushi, have drinks, watch a show or a movie, and we just enjoy our time together.
Something else that we've recently incorporated is Date Night in a Box, which is a subscription box that gets mailed to your home every single month, and it has a themed date night in it. It includes all of the essentials that you would need, and then there might be a small shopping list of other items that you might need. So in the boxes, there's usually a Spotify playlist for your evening. There is some type of activity, something to bake or make, and then a game in there as well. It usually takes us like a good 2 hours to go through everything and to do it. And we always have so much fun. But you can use my code BethanyRose50 for 50% off your first date night in a box, which brings your box to, I think it's $19.99.
And it's just great because it is just time together that we get to do stuff that we enjoy to do together.
So we will link that in the show notes for you guys. But again, that is BethanyRose50 for 50% off your first date night in a box.
As we said earlier, marriage isn't dependent on date night. It is a great way of prioritizing your marriage, but it is not absolutely needed. One thing that is needed in marriage and should be prioritized is sex.
1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again in sex so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control."
So this verse is clearly showing that sex should not be ignored. I mean, it says right there, do not deprive each other of sexual relations. It helps out with not being tempted, because if you are being fulfilled by your spouse, you're not going to be going elsewhere for that fulfillment. So it shouldn't be ignored, and it is such a value to your intimacy with each other.
I'm sure there's people with young children listening to this and saying, I'm just so tired by the end of the day. This is just one more thing to fit in. It's really hard to even desire my spouse sometimes when I'm so stressed out by the end of the day.
Well, this is great news, because as we were researching this section, we found some great benefits of sex. One of which is it helps lower stress. It also helps you sleep better, and it builds a deeper level of communication.
I find that so interesting. We've been talking so much about communication here, and just to see that as one of the main benefits of sex in a relationship, like God knew what he was doing when he was designing this and when he was commanding a husband and wife to be intimate. So for some people, I know that they plan out sex, whereas other couples are very spontaneous about it. I don't think it's right or wrong on either side. I think it's just what works best for your relationship.
Right. I mean, really what's important is that you're communicating about your needs, making sure that you're both being fulfilled. And if one of you isn't, you need to be able to communicate that and work together to make it so that you are both fulfilled sexually.
So we want to end today with some practical ways to spend time with your spouse. The first one is having a devotional time or a prayer time together. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And it's so important that we're walking this path, this Christian journey alongside of our spouse. And I think there is great value in doing this together, to be seeking God alongside your spouse, to be sharing your prayer requests with your spouse. I mentioned earlier that Jake and I were going through the book of James together. And not that you always have to be studying the exact same thing at the same time, but it was cool to be able to be reading the same verses every single day and being able to talk about them and see what Jake was getting out of them and what I was getting out of them, and to be able to ask questions if there was something that I was confused on. Something fun that we really like to do with our kids is on the weekends, we pile everybody into our amazing minivan and we get coffee.
I think that's my favorite one.
It's definitely mine. And we just drive and we talk. Sometimes we'll get the kids like donuts, or like Starbucks sometimes gives those little cups of whipped cream for the kids. And I think our kids are pretty used to it now. Sometimes they'll bring a book in the car, or something to color, but we just drive for a bit. And it's time that we can spend together. Our kids can see us spending time together, and they're also involved in it as well.
We also like to take family walks. It's getting harder now that the daylight is getting shorter, but after dinner, get together, go out, have a walk around the block or into a park, and we're just able to let the kids run ahead of us, and it gives us some quiet time to just communicate, talk about the day, and just have a refreshing adult conversation. All right, I lied. The going out for coffee and a drive is not my favorite one. The next one's my favorite one. Saturday morning, putting on a show for the kids and going back to bed. It's wonderful. They are enjoying their show and we just get to sleep in longer.
We're also sticklers for earlier bedtimes. Our kids are usually in bed between 7 and 8, which gives us the evening to ourselves. Our kids are very used to this, but it usually gives us like 3 or 4 hours in the evening just to get some stuff done, spend some time together. That is where we are doing our podcasting time here for you guys. Obviously, if your spouse works third shift or you guys have opposite work schedules, this might not be the most helpful, but maybe it's something that you could be doing earlier in the morning and waking up earlier while the kids are still sleeping.
We also set aside time with our kids. We have family Friday night movie night. We make pizza. We enjoy our time. And like the kids are watching a movie and Bethany and I are able to talk as we're making the pizza for them. Or, you know, we just get to show quality time to our kids.
Yeah, we can't stress the value of your kids just seeing you and your spouse on the same page. It really benefits them, as we talked about earlier. So don't ever think that you can only be spending quality time with your spouse when your kids are asleep or out of the house or being babysat. No, it's really important for them to see it and to see it modeled so that they too, as they grow up, know what a marriage is to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. Modeling a godly marriage for your kids is going to help them exponentially in the future. And sometimes earlier bedtime doesn't work, or putting a show on doesn't work. They leave and they come and they start interrupting you. So in that time, you need to work on your kids being obedient and just knowing that this is a conversation between you and your spouse, and they need to listen and obey and go to the other room so that you can have this important conversation and or the spending this time with one another.
That about wraps up our show for today. We do want to encourage you, if you are further along in your marriage journey and have a lot of encouragement to give to younger couples, to please be doing it. There's so many people and social media accounts that are just discouraging about marriage and talking about it in a negative light, and they make it sound like kids are going to ruin a marriage, or because of the statistics about divorce, that you are next. And the world right now needs godly people to be encouraging younger couples in their marriage. And it's not just younger couples, it's all couples. All couples need encouragement in their marriage. So I challenge you to be that voice of encouragement in the world today.
And with that, I think that is a perfect spot to end this episode. Don't forget to head over to Instagram and follow us at Whatever Is True Co. Thank you for joining us.